Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is one verse out of the readings you just read, and I shall repeat it one more time. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Just a few moments ago, we sang a rather moving, stirring hymn. Not hard to sing. In fact, therein perhaps lies a great deal of the problem. You and I can take this particular text and the hymn that we sung and psychologize it to the nth degree. Rarely, and it's very difficult, to really actualize it in life. When Jesus was saying these words to the disciples, he meant that he wanted from them all or nothing. One of the most difficult things in my life as a Christian, and I'm sure it's true for everyone, is this particular passage. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. One that we so easily, as I said a moment ago, either psychologize out of existence into a kind of a personal monastic life and don't really actualize it in real world, and one, and you look at it closely, is very difficult to carry out even in the institutional church among fellow Christians. It wasn't any different with Jesus, by the way, either. He said, deny yourself. That has a whole host of implications. The first thing that comes to mind, I guess, is it did for thousands of years with the hair shirt monks, for example. Deny yourself the pleasures that you have in life, the creaturely comforts. And surely that was included in Jesus' thought, I'm quite convinced. But that's not all there is to it. There are many other ways that you and I, in being a Christian and wanting to take up our cross, need to deny ourselves. It's part and parcel of following him. Denying ourselves, for example, in terms of honor and prestige. That's difficult because we are so constituted that we all need, as we say it commonly in colloquial expressions today, a lot of stroking, which is another way of saying we all need a lot of praise and honor. It's incumbent upon a human individual that he gets that if he's going to grow up to be a healthy, normal person. And yet to deny yourself, there is this tension that you and I have to also deny, I suppose, theoretically, all of it. And none of us can pull it off. And there is that tension again by taking up the cross and giving all or nothing as a Christian. Who of us can dare deny himself totally? Who, for that matter, even wants to? Denying ourselves, for example, in terms of popularity. Who doesn't like to be the life of the party or recognized in any kind of social setting, small as it might be, insignificant as it might be? It's difficult for you and me to take up our cross and follow him in terms of denying ourselves. But the text says more. It says, follow him. And again, one can only mention one or two items. Follow him how? Like he did, do good unto those that hate you, said Jesus. And how easy is that for us? Extremely difficult. More often, the words that Plato said seem to be more true of us than the words that Jesus said. There is honor among thieves. In other words, we like to do good to those who do good to us, not to those who hate us and despise us. And yet that's what Jesus wants us to do, is taking up our cross. We can follow Jesus in promoting the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. We're very good usually in promoting the letter of the law and losing sight of the spirit. If there's anything that stands out in Jesus' life is that he captured the spirit of the law, often at the expense of the letter of the law. And it got him to all kinds of trouble with the ecclesiastical elite. And when you go out in the congregations frequently and emphasize maybe the spirit of the law, not that the letter of the law isn't important, you will be foisted with a cross that you perhaps didn't anticipate. Jesus carried out the spirit of the law, for example, when he sat down to eat with unclean hands that weren't washed. And again, the ecclesiastical elite caught sight of it. His disciples eat without washing hands. They had lost the spirit of the law. When Jesus and his disciples picked corn on the Sabbath day, same accusation, same problem, the letter of the law took precedence over the spirit of the law. We need to follow him as pastors and ministers in keeping that perspective before us constantly. I'm not advocating that it's better to violate one or the other. We need to follow him by taking stands on controversial issues. John Stott, a few years ago, wrote a book by almost that very title. He says, Jesus the Controversialist, and he was that. He wasn't that anemic, spineless individual that is often pictured perhaps by artists and even maybe in our own minds. He was one who took issue on controversial stands. Often what he said became controversial in itself. In fact, it's rather noteworthy if we read in the third chapter of Mark, a passage or a section often not caught by us, that even his own relatives wondered whether he had taken leave of his senses. And if he were here today, as many of you have heard me say before, it wouldn't be any different. We need to follow him in that respect. There are plenty of controversial issues that you and I as Christians need to speak out on as well as pray about. One thing that becomes rather clear when we read the New Testament scriptures is that Jesus was no Madison Avenue PR man who was trying to grease the smoothness of the institution to keep it humming. That was the last of his concerns, if it was his concern at all. And this is where it comes difficult again for you and me to bear the cross. Whether it's in a parish or whether that's an institution of our synod, the institutional values seem to take precedence over everything else. Don't be a boat rocker. Don't ask the controversial question. And yet, or the moment we acquiesce, and we're all institutional creatures, so much so that we're so extremely sensitive to this that basic truths often get pushed down or into the background. To follow Jesus, to take up your cross, often means perhaps overlooking, yes, I hate to say it, what the institution would dictate, and follow rather what Jesus would have us do. A tension that you and I will never sidestep in this life, one that is as real as the tension in terms of staying alive, and one that we cannot afford to forget. All too often, the institutional social forces tell us, let's keep peace. Jesus wasn't swayed by those arguments. I'm sure they were voiced in many respects in his day, and it's rather evident when you read the scripture that this was one of the tensions, this is one of the things what led him or led others to take him to the cross and nail him to it literally. And as I also sometimes like to say, it wasn't the people on the street that nailed him to the cross, it was again the ecclesiastical elite. of which you and I, in a sense, are a part of today. So it's easy to sing, Jesus, I my cross have taken. In fact, this whole particular text is a very difficult one to preach on. Not exegetically, no great problems there at all. Difficult in terms of you and I identifying with this passage and wanting to fulfill it as the Spirit of the Lord would have us do. One more brief comment. It also says in our text not only to deny ourselves and to follow him, but to take up your cross. If you and I follow him, the cross will be there. You won't have to go around looking for any. If you and I speak out on controversial issues, if you and I are not primarily concerned with keeping the organizational machinery humming all the time, but basically with the truth as conveyed by the good Lord, the crosses will come upon you fast and furious. But you and I, being creatures that we are, we kind of like to sidestep them. I'm no different than you. I like to sing that hymn also like you do and psychologize it and kind of leave it after we leave this building. And yet you and I cannot leave it at that, can we? Jesus wanted all or nothing. And he still does. And when we read a text like this, it really makes us understand, God, I'm a sinner. Help me, forgive me. And he has, and he does. And even that, or especially that, should motivate us to do a little better in bearing that cross out of thankfulness for what he has done for us. Yes, one might even say, at first blush, this passage looks like it's totally law. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But I like to think there's also gospel there. If you follow Christ, the gospel will shine in your face, in spite of the difficulty that you and I have in life, in following him, in taking up his cross. May this good Lord give us the motivation and the desire to take up his cross every day a little bit better, every day a little bit more firmly. May he grant it to us in his name. Amen. May the grace of God, which surpasses all peace and understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.